What's up, everybody? Welcome to the FU Podcast. This is episode 189. It is November 14th, 2023. Doom. Bass drop. Yeah. I'm Devin Ewart, joined by my amazing and brilliant co-host.
I'm the brilliant one.
I was paid to say that.
A lot of snickering in the studio right now. A lot of snickering.
Patrick Martin, Andy brilliant. Henning.
Asshole.
Broadcasting straight from the heart of Texas. You're tuned to the FU Podcast, where we bring you a smorgasbord of topics ranging from news and current events to business, entertainment, sports, and technology.
Sounds tasty.
It is. We got them spewing. We're like a minute in.
Spewing like a warm beer.
Yeah. Tonight, we're beyond thrilled to welcome a guest whose life story is captivating as it is inspiring. Without further ado, Jay Laster. How you doing?
Howdy, folks.
Jay Leno Laster.
Jay Leno Laster.
I'd like to have his money.
No shit, everybody would like that.
And his car collection. I'd take both. His car collection's pretty awesome.
Well, doesn't he have an airplane collection, too? No?
That I don't.
Who has an airplane? Oh, Travolta.
Yeah. He's got his own little airport or whatever at his house.
Yeah, he's got the shit. He's got the Qantas 707 parked right out front.
Or did? Wow. Yeah, even through all his little turmoil where he was his issues with I don't remember what all it was, but he didn't lose any of that.
Yeah, because he's in Scientology.
They were not able to completely cancel him. That dude's still flying around.
Yep.
Looks like Jacob's already on.
Oh, yes? Cool.
Yeah, Maza Jezza?
Yep, that's it.
Well, hello, Jacob. I remember when you were that tall.
So is Jacob a new listener?
So about Patrick's height.
Jacob a new listener? That's not funny. Are we already off to
We're a new listener.
Yeah, new listener.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So okay. Did we take a shot? Or what?
So there's not enough tequila to go around.
Excuse me.
What's going on?
We got some stuff on top. I don't know what's in there.
What happened? There was
I think we drank. Some.
There's all kinds of stuff in
there
last week. There's no way.
He drank all of it.
That was a lot.
Well,
Devin's up here getting drunk playing with fucking AI and shit.
I mean, Ruby.
Yeah, playing with Ruby.
Ruby
Ray.
Ruby Roundhouse.
Yeah, from Jumanji. Yeah.
Give me Roundhouse. He's do it again. Roundhouse.
Yeah.
Well, hold on a second.
Clip, but I guess not. Anyway.
Well, we got plenty of shot glasses, so if you went three to four times, it caught on.
Knowing my boy here, what's it called?
De Leon.
I'm surprised he wasn't it's Devion.
Devion.
No,
Devion. I like that. I'm going to start my own vodka. Devion vodka.
Devion.
Here.
Here, just go ahead and just give me some Devion.
Give me some Devion.
It's either Devin or Devion.
Devin. Andy, close the door. Oh, well, get that sock out the way.
Why does it take you forever to do something?
What are you talking about?
He learned watching you.
When he was my supervisor, why does it take you forever to do something?
What are you meaning? I don't understand. Because there's something slow in what
Dude,
I'm doing.
Dude, come on.
There's one cup.
Yeah, don't. I'm not going to cut on
you. I'm just.
Come on.
No shame.
Go ahead and finish while he does it.
All right.
That's what I was trying to get to.
So Jay's a combat vet and aficionado of aviation. Jay's journey has taken him from the intense battlegrounds of the Gulf War in Iraq to the high skies, mastering aircraft from Chinooks and Huey helicopters. But hold on, there's more to Jay than just military and aviation feats. He's a man of humor and heart and dedication, hobbyist who finds solace in model airplanes and a personality so vibrant he describes himself as
the world's straightest gay man.
You'll ever meet. Living in Annapolis, Maryland, Jay brings to our show not only stories, but a unique perspective forged from discipline, passion, and a love for water and red wine.
Answered the questionnaire.
He did?
You answered the questionnaire.
He actually called me this morning and goes, hey, did you hit submit? And I'm like...
Answer.
I don't remember.
Cheers to that.
I don't remember.
So Patrick has an amazing like aptitude of like getting guests and stuff like that, but he always schedules them like the day before. And I'm like, bro, we gotta like gotta have some lead time so we can properly like push it out to the channels.
Well, with that intro,
I mean, literally everybody was like bombarded today with six fucking Facebook posts every hour on the hour.
Well, the thing is, before Jay messaged me and said, call me.
Yeah.
And I was going, whoa, okay, what's going on? I was thinking, you know, of course, the worst or whatever. And we talked, I don't know how long we talked. We talked like, what, about 30 minutes, 30, 45 minutes? Yeah, something like that. And he says, I want to be on your channel. I go, channel? podcast. Yeah,
that thing.
I said, I told him, I said, well, I can get you in next week. No, man, tomorrow night. And I was going,
well, no, you said tomorrow night.
Oh, I said tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Of course. See, the real story comes out.
I thought you said.
That sounds more plausible.
Yeah, because I asked him, I said, hey, what are you going to do the next one? And he's like, well, we're going to do one tomorrow night. And
Okay. Yeah. We were supposed to have Sarah, but Sarah had to take off to Houston. But anyway.
And once again, I told him, I was like, dude, I need more than one day notice. Like, yeah, not even 24-hour notice.
I know.
He says that, but I feel like with the intro and the way the questionnaire was answered, like we may do. I think we're good.
Yeah. I mean, the questionnaire works perfect. It's like, it's not too, like, you know, asking your social security number, your maiden name, or any of that sort of shit, like security questions.
Well, I mean, I was looking.
But it's just enough to, like, build a profile.
You know what I was going to do was, okay, Jay, what's your social security number? But he goes, no, fuck you.
I need your passport number, your social security number.
Your firstborn. What was your great-grandfather's name?
Yeah, right. Which street did you grow up on?
I do want to say, before we get too far into this, thank you for your service.
Yes, that's definitely.
Exactly, first and foremost, I appreciate that. I think we all do. I don't want to speak for him. But,
you know, of course.
We're all of the same opinion.
Yeah, it's my whole thing and how this all started. You know, I grew up on a 600-acre farm in Sutton Henry County, Maryland.
Oh, wow.
And my dad's dad had run the place for a while, and then he was killed when I was about 3 years old.
Oh, wow.
So my dad took over running the place, and we were there until, I'm going to say, 1977.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things, though, it's, I'm old enough to remember watching Walter Cronkite and The Fall of Saigon on television.
Oh, wow.
And behind our farm was a Nike missile site. It's one of the ones that rained Washington, D.C. And, of course, Richard Nixon ended up signing the ABM treaty, and just from this right now, I can't remember the exact date, but, you know, just was out there with my dad on the tractor. I'm like 5-6 years old. Now the sky comes a bunch of helicopters to take this place apart.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm going to do that.
I want to do that. Well, and it's funny because, like, I've always been fascinated with aviation, and, like, I always wanted to be a pilot. But unfortunately, some circumstances happened. I was diagnosed at a younger age with epilepsy, and so that kind of went out the fucking window, but I was actually, overcame it. And so, but because it's on your record, it's kind of one of those things that, like, they're like, fuck you very much.
Well, the whole thing of it is I had seen an ad on television, but, you know, the Army does, they still to this day, I think, saying they may have changed it. I went to flight school in 1986, and they have changed the program quite a bit.
Where was your flight school? Is that in Maryland, too? Or?
No, it was at Fort Rucker, Alabama.
Okay.
Which is now, they've renamed that. It's one of the posts they've renamed. It's now called Fort Novosel. Mr. Novosel was a Medal of Honor.
Oh, okay.
Huey Dustoff pilot in Vietnam.
Oh, wow.
And I got to meet him one time when we were in flight school. He came down and spoke to us. Just a quiet, unassuming guy.
Uh-huh.
You know, he actually flew, if memory serves, I think he flew B-29s towards the very end of World War II.
Oh, wow.
So.
Jeez.
But I had told flat out, you know, I'm like, oh, flight school? I don't need a college degree. Of course, you know, I took that.
But studying airplanes is a college degree.
Well, I took the ASVAB and I maxed it.
Yeah.
So they're all calling.
Chomping at the bits. Yep.
And the Navy guy, you have to understand, Tom Clancy, the author of Hunt for Red October,
mm-hmm.
and many others.
And games, too. Video games, yeah. He was
friends with our librarian at my high school.
Oh, wow.
So I actually have a first edition Naval Institute Press Hunt for October autographed by him.
Oh, wow. That's...
So he came up and you know, we were asking him questions. I go, well, hey, Mr. Clancy, so what do you think about the fact that your book's being read in the Kremlin? He goes, good capitalist, as long as they pay for it.
Yep.
As long as they pay for it.
Came into that.
But I told the, you know, I told the Army recruiter guy, was a guy by the name of Sergeant First Class Hartman. And I told him flat out, I said, listen, if I don't get accepted to this, I'm not joining the Army. I'm going to go to the Air Force, work on jets.
Hell yeah.
And I put in, because I had more than enough credits, I actually graduated high school 6 months early.
Mm-hmm.
So, you
well,
had to...
Well, then you were smart, right?
Smart enough not to stay in fucking school, that's for sure. Yeah, that's
right. So what happened was, I had to take another test called the FAST test, the Flight Aptitude Selection Test. And apparently I must have done really well on that, because now Sergeant Hartman's starting to salivate, going, man, this is going to be great. So I had to go before board at Fort Meade, Maryland.
Uh-huh.
Two captains and a major. And you have to understand, I'm 17 years old.
Oh, wow.
I've never been on an aircraft in my entire life.
Oh, shit.
I never even rode on an airplane.
Oh, man.
I flew from BWI.
Nothing like getting thrown right in.
To Atlanta, and then on a smaller -7 from there to Dothan, Alabama.
If there's any way to learn.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just a pastor. I'd never done that. And, so you ended up, what ended up happening is because of the holidays, didn't get the results of the board until January, like 23rd. And I went, my last day of high school was like the 23rd, and I went down the very next day and enlisted. And ended up going to basic training in Fort Dix, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And went down to Fort Rucker after that was over. And I'm going to tell you, from being from the Mid-Atlantic area, boy howdy, when you get down to Fort Rucker, Alabama on the 31st of July, 1986, that's a whole different kind of heat than I was used to. It was 104 that day. I called my dad. I'm like, I said, I'm sweating. I said, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Well, just go suck it up.
Suck it up, buttercup.
my dad was in the Navy. He was a sailor.
Oh, okay.
You know, he was one of these type of men.
He's like, I'm used to humidity.
He, well, he was a farmer, worked outside, worked construction, but, he just was of that generation where,
mm-hmm.
you got to do it.
Yep.
So.
Put in that sweat equity. So who has the best toys of all the branches?
Depends on what you want to do.
Okay, so for your aviation aspect... Now, but you were more so on the helicopter, so that might change things on that.
I was a helicopter guy.
Uh-huh.
You know, I learned how to fly on what's called a TH-55. It's a Hughes 300. Little two-seat.
Uh-huh.
Little two-seater. Thing wouldn't do 85 miles an hour if you pushed off the top of a Bank of America tower.
Holy shit.
That's what primary was. And you can Google it, you know, pull it up, Google TH-55, and... that was the first, that was called primary, was basically what that was called. And then once you get through that, we all went through instruments together in Hueys.
Uh-huh.
And then the way it worked back then was...
Oh, that's called, like looks like the grasshopper, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, little, I see exactly, here, I'll post it on there.
Yeah, after instruments, the guys that wanted to fly scouts or guns... they went and did a separate thing, and the rest of us, what we call utility cargo track, we finished tactics and all that in Hueys.
Mm-hmm.
And then you were awarded your aircraft based on your class standing. And it just so happens there was 3 CH-47 spots, and I got one of them.
Nice.
So, and you see that.
My philosophy on helicopters is I better have a fucking parachute. the only way I'm going in.
So you were talking. This is. You said this was around. You were flying this at 17, right?
I turned 18 5 days into flight school.
So, but that's what you're flying, right?
Yeah.
So, believe it or not, we have a question on here that literally, like, if you right now talking about what you're telling us could go back and talk to your 18-year-old self, I mean, what would you tell yourself at that point?
Well, first, punch myself in the face.
Hey, witness all.
Because, you know, yeah, I'd punch my 18-year-old. I mean, okay.
Well, and then what? Once you punched yourself in the face, then what would you do? Because then he's going to be like, you're going to be like, what the fuck was that for?
Such an asshole all the time. But what do you say as far as going back and
maybe in that moment, or in that, at least in that moment of making a decision, like, I'm doing this, I'm getting in this helicopter, like, this two-seater, like,
yeah,
you're 18 years old, never flew.
Because you literally, that decision was the pinnacle of your life to determine, like, what you're going to do and be interested for literally the majority of your life.
Yeah, and the thing with that is, once you get through, the first 6 weeks is basically... If you ever watch, and I can't stand the movies, Officer and a Gentleman, where they, you know, instead of having a drill sergeant, we had TAC officers. These are warrant officers that they put your ass through the ringer for 6 solid weeks to see what you're made of. And part of it, you know, I had no life experience. I didn't do anything. I didn't know anything. And a lot of it would really frost me in some of the stuff that we had to do, but... Hindsight, I understand. Like, you had to have your underwear rolled a certain way. You had to have your socks rolled a certain way. And hangers can only be so far apart. You know, yep. All your stuff had to be hung. And the purpose of it was to teach your mind about attention to detail. Because it's the little stuff that will kill you.
Yeah.
If you miss a cotter pin on a castellated nut and that thing comes off, it could kill you. They especially wore my ass out because I was the youngest. Matter of fact, on my birthday, they had me as a guide on bearer. I'm standing out in front of the platoon.
Oh, they're going to fuck with you.
All of the TAC officers came out because they wore black hats with their rank and their wings on it. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to get it. That's why I hate floater kits. So... One of the coolest things that happened, though, one of my TAC officers was he's still around, a man by the name of Wayne Denmark. The day we graduated, I'm in out processing in finance. And, I'm standing there, I'm in my class B, my dress shirt and, dress trousers and everything, and, no jacket. And he comes up to me, and, I'm like... I'm expecting he's going to say something weird to me. He's like, hey, I just want you to know that we gave you a ton of shit because you were so young. He goes, I'm very proud of you.
Adapt and overcome.
He shook my hand, and that meant a lot to me.
Right.
Me and there was one other guy just a couple months older than me. We were the two youngest.
So what gave you the mental fortitude to... stay with it and basically rise above your reasons?
Well, I was, to be honest with you, there's a couple of times.
Was it stubbornness? Or?
Well, I feel like there was intestinal force
as well. Honestly, part of it has been just the shame of failure.
Right.
Fair enough.
That's the great driver.
It was a shame of failure,
Yeah. Like, that was one of the things when I first started my first company was, like, failure's not an option. Like, it's just, like, if you go in with the mindset that you're going to fail, then you're going to fail. But if you go in there like, hey, I'm no holds barred, like, I'm going to go in there, I'm going to accomplish everything and anything and kick ass to take names, then, that's awesome.
Yeah, there was when I graduated flight school on the 12th of August, 1987. And, of course, I turned 19 5 days later. So I went back... at the end of October for the Chinook course at Rucker. And one of the other TAC officers that I had, who I won't mention his name, but he was a great big man.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand, I only weighed maybe 130.
I was just going to ask you what.
Maybe 130.
About my weight.
And this dude is about 6'4".
Oh, shit.
And
how tall were you at the time?
Well, I'm 5'10".
5'10", okay. I didn't know if you started shrinking like certain somebody. Yeah.
Do you want to build a snowman?
You know, in Andy, your jokes aren't funny, so shut up. All
right. You know what's not funny also?
His face.
You're declining height.
We didn't even take. I was like, hold on.
Be in deep shit trouble if climate change is real and sea level rise.
That's right.
He's already struggling over the puddles.
I'll be first
to it,
damn it. Hell yeah.
Wow.
Oh man. Oh, holy ooh, that's so good, smooth. Dude. That is smooth as a.
God, yes.
Patrick's over there.
I have in this bottle. I'll tell
God.
You,
wow, that's probably the smoothest tequila that I've had.
It's got a little bite at the end.
A little bit, but not.
Like, it's not like,
yeah, that's smooth. No wonder the fucking price went up.
Yeah. Of Devion.
Of Devion.
Yeah.
What are the questions you got?
Man,
We got so many.
Hold on, Julie. What? Julie said, thank you for your service, Amanda. Yep. Amanda Callender said that she's a military vet too.
Hell yeah.
Thank you for your service. And
yeah, feel free if any of our listeners, if you're in any type of military, feel free to put what you belong to and all that jazz so that way we can.
Yeah.
You'll be part of the conversation.
I'm sorry.
I'm not going to ask questions.
I swear to God, Devin, you and this fucking AI. What's your sign? What's your enneagram?
Oh, yeah. You can delete that. I meant to go through it.
What's your star
sign?
He's
a Virgo. You're not a Virgo?
If you could have coffee with any historical figure.
Oh, shit.
Patrick Martin.
Patton Jr.
All right.
Wait, awesome. What?
He's got an answer. I love
it. I know. I was like, I wanted to hear it. You talked over it.
I could go back. General Patton is my personal hero.
Okay.
Always have been. I've read pretty much every book that's ever been written about him. But go back and, because he was the only American general that the Nazis truly feared.
Wow.
They thought Umar Bradley and, Dwight Eisenhower were lightweights.
Yeah.
They sure as shit feared George Patton.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, what do you think, what made them fear him, do you think?
Because his tactics.
Uh-huh. Was it like unorthodox? Like what was? What about his tactics? What about his strategy?
He was able to think on the fly.
You can push it closer, Patrick. And I actually turned his levels up because the mic was so far away. Yeah.
That's a lot better.
Yeah, let me turn the volume back now because I was actually adjusting, compensating on the volume, but then distortion. Right. So,
it's
okay. So now you're good.
So the Germans, they respected Patton, and that was a big thing to them.
Right.
And a lot of the armor tactics is because of him.
So explain to the audience, sorry to cut you off, but explain to the audience why the Germans and everything, respected him. Give a little bit of a historical background, basically.
The bottom line is the intelligence and the fact that he created a lot of the tactics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's alluded to in the movie Patton.
Mm-hmm.
Which you have to understand that Omar Bradley did not like George Patton. And who's one of the biggest military advisors on the movie Patton was Omar Bradley, who was chief of staff. You know? And Patton would go out and do things and just, he would be told by higher ups to stop. And there's a scene in the movie where he goes, well, that's what you think it says. Just ask for clarification. Take your time about it.
Mm-hmm.
And did he make mistakes? Of course.
Yeah.
But he had the wherewithal.
Mm-hmm.
And a perfect example of this is his intelligence officer. I'm having a brain lock. I can't remember the man's name. That he basically predicted what turned out to be the Battle of the Bulge.
Mm-hmm.
And Patton flat out told Omar Bradley, said, look, man, you got First Army down there. You need to keep on your toes.
Mm-hmm.
And look how that turned out.
Right. Y'all going to learn a little history today.
Because I remember there was a few times where, I would sit in the smoke room and you and Chris would sit there and watch Patton.
I'm
taking myself going, oh, my.
I love speaking to and talking to people that have that historical knowledge and been there, actually feet on the street and like that type of thing, because it's like, you're not going to read this in a book. You're not, you know, even like if you see it in a movie, it's an adaptation of somebody's view of what happened.
Yeah, and that's exactly what the movie Patton was.
Right, and that was actually one of the questions that I had on here was, like, what is your view on, like, a lot of these military-type movies that they're slant and, you know, whatever.
To be honest with you.
Not to be racist.
To be honest with you, if it deals with the Middle East, I just can't watch it.
Okay, explain on that. Like, well, what...
It just...
I mean, I know you were there, personally.
Because I was there. The only thing I actually... And it wasn't a movie, it was a documentary. Sebastian Younger is an author... He's also a war correspondent. As a matter of fact, he wrote the book Perfect Storm that the movie was made off of.
Oh, wow. That was a good movie. That is a great movie.
And he had a documentary he did where he went out and hung out with an infantry unit in Afghanistan.
Oh, wow.
And the documentary is called Restrepo, and that's the only thing. I actually had to sit there and make myself watch it.
Really? So does that play a part in, like, the PTSD? Like, how does that...
I just... You know, there's every single person has their own experiences.
Right.
Okay. Because it's all based on
your perception
and yourself and what you see. You know, yeah.
What level has been put in front of your face. And,
but also.
But you've had so many tours of combat. Like, you've already, you know, you've literally seen shit.
Can I ask how many tours?
It was broken up because I had a mid-tour leave in February. So we went and got into Kuwait in July of 6. A week or two later is when we went up to Balad, which is about...
You said 06, right?
Yeah. Balad's about 50-some miles northwest of Baghdad, right on the Tigris River. And then we came home July 7. And, you know, I'm not a ground pounding guy. You know, I'm not driving around in an Humvee.
And
one of the things...
That's a great point. Like, describe your role.
But, well, you know, you have to understand, too, I was 38 years old when we went there.
Oh, wow. So you're not that 17-year-old, that 18-year-old, yeah.
Well, see, here's the thing. My unit during Gulf War I, we didn't deploy anywhere because we had old helicopters.
Okay.
So what we did is we backfilled, and I spent a good portion of Desert Shield, Desert Storm, flying stuff up and down the East Coast. Like, lawyers fly out to these little reserve centers so they get all their wills and paperwork and shit done. So, when I'm transferred down here, the guys are like, "Hey, man, there's a Chinook unit in Grand Prairie, Texas." And I'm like, "Whoa."
So that brings you here, huh? I was wondering, because I was reading your, you know, bio and stuff, and I'm like, so he's in Maryland. How did he end up here? And I was like, was there a military base? And then, like, you know, obviously.
I was stationed. What happened was, at right about the time, right before the groundwork kicked off, I got hired as a full-time reserve technician. And my job was, I worked on life support equipment, like helmets and rafts and survival stuff. And then Gulf War I's over. You know, I did that for a few years. Well, one of the first things, when Bill Clinton got elected, the very first thing they did is they shut our control tower down.
Control tower where?
At our airfield, at Tipton Airfield.
Okay.
And I'm like, that's not good. So the writing was on the wall, and they ended up, I left before they closed the facility. And I went to work for a demolition company for a little bit, and then I went to work at BWI Airport for two different companies.
BWI,
Baltimore, Washington International.
Okay. And so for the people that aren't in the airline, I know Patrick knows, I know, but you got to, like, think about the audience that's listening, like, what the fuck does that mean?
when he said BWI, I just thought of Baltimore.
Yeah.
So, no, I know the airline people know.
So I wanted to, you know, things happen in your life. And ended up getting a divorce. And the company I was working for, I was their ops manager. And they didn't. They made a mistake and sent the email that I shouldn't have got.
Oosh.
That sucks.
Can you elaborate without elaborating?
Well, they're out of business now.
So okay, well, go ahead.
Basically, they were going to pull out of Baltimore.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
They were fueling U.S. Airways at the time. And I saw that So what I did is I went over, because I had worked at the airport for quite a while. I got to know some guys working at Southwest and other airlines, American and Continental and all that. So I went over and talked to one of my buddies. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, you guys hiring?
Hopefully it wasn't this shithead you talked to.
No. I've been down in Dallas the whole time.
He was up in Baltimore minding his own business.
So typically, one of the first questions I ask, how do you know this dipshit? But I know we're slowly getting there.
I mean, I know you didn't meet him looking for it.
Where's the children's play area? Yeah. Oh, there he is.
Somebody throw him a line. He's lost in the ball.
Stop
pit.
It again. Get kids. Get kids.
The Rams flooded. He's floating out there somewhere. All right,
go ahead. Look for his little tracks.
So I ended up, I got a job in the airline business. Mm-hmm. And transferred down here. And, I
remember that day.
Still in the airline business. Like to retire, January 24th, I've been in aviation 38 years.
Wow.
So,
what's funny is fascinating. I love the fact that a lot of aviation people are in that industry for literally almost their entire life.
Yep. Yeah. And
me, I'm fucking 42, and I've had 876 jobs, but they've all paid well. But the thing is, I've been trying to find a home.
Yeah, well, we came back from...
stability. Not South. Somebody came in the podcast studio and said that there was nobody on the show here that said that out loud. Just FYI, disclaimer. Legal disclaimer.
They had a PHI helicopter guy there at Hood when we came home. And he's like, hey, they're looking for pilots. He goes, well, you got your license? I'm like, yeah. I go, I got a type rating instrument on that.
How long does the license last?
It's indefinite.
Oh, really? So it's not like you have to renew every...
No.
Wow, I didn't know that.
If you're flying commercially, though, you have to take a check right every so often. You have to have a certain type of physical. It all depends. Now, I could go out right now and get a sports pilot rating, but you don't need a physical.
Hmm.
All you need is a driver's license, basically.
Wow.
But
so I know a lot of people, me, that are in the film and stuff like that industry, when you license, to fly a drone, unmanned aerial vehicle, UAV, you have to have a lot of times... license, and I'm going, God damn, I gotta go to fucking flight school. I might as well get a pilot's license at that point.
They had to do that because of people being stupid with things.
And that's the problem. One or two gotta ruin it for the rest.
One bad apple ruined it for the rest.
So the PHI guy is man, we're hiring. He asked me how many hours I had, and I told him. Excuse me, and he's like, yeah, it'd be perfect. I said, well, let me ask you one thing.
Uh-oh.
Do I got to fly out over the water?
He asked you that?
No, I asked him.
Oh, you asked, okay.
He goes, well, that's kind of mostly what we do. I go, I'm not interested.
Oh, shit. Why is that?
Because I can't swim for shit.
That's fair.
We're learning so much about you, bro.
I didn't know.
It was not on the questionnaire.
Coming out of the air at certain heights, I don't think that's a fact.
Yeah, you're gonna hit it the ground anyway.
If you have to jump, then
in 1993, I went to the safety officer course, and we went down to Pensacola, Florida. Mm-hmm. And they're like, "Hey, we're getting in the helicopter dunker," and I'm like, "I am not getting in that goddamn thing."
I'm surprised, man, that all the training and all the stuff that you went through, of the prerequisites were be able to swim. Nowadays, you got to be able to hold 30 pounds over your head, tread water, motherfucker.
Nowadays, I think they do put a water survival thing in, but back in my day, they didn't have it.
Wow.
And I've always been, I've never liked being around the water. Now, they're like, well, you got to get in the dunker, and he goes, you guys fly over to Chesapeake Bay. I go, yeah, and an aircraft that floats and has two engines. A C-47 can float. It's designed to float.
I mean,
that's good to know. This is useful knowledge. I don't like sinking. That sensation.
Get to shore somehow. Yeah.
What's up? Some music on?
Oh yeah, I forgot all about that.
Almost did.
Hey, what's up, Ashley?
I think there's the buzz. I still hear it. So I got a question. So you had an extensive military career. So you served.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry. It comes in like.
Very good.
So you over an extensive military career, you more than likely serve under multiple presidencies. Yes.
Yes. Reagan was president when I was.
Okay. So.
Did you want to join Space Force? Space Force, whatever he had at the time.
So
it wasn't Star Wars.
My second part of the question is like, as when you're serving at time of service, do you feel an immediate, when it goes from whether it's president to president or Republican to Democrat, doesn't matter how you want to look at it, do you feel an immediate shift when leadership changes like
you
that?
You do.
Can you elaborate on that? What you feel? You don't have to go into specifics.
You don't feel like it.
You do feel it. It's the morale. You can sense a change in the morale.
That's justified too.
The thing of it is we just do the same stupid thing over and over. You get one president from one party, you've got to build up the military, and then you get the next one in. Oh, peace dividend and blah blah blah. And it's just this cycle, and the only people that make out are the defense contractors.
Yeah, that is no fucking joke right there. Mm-hmm. Billions and trillions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, man. Yeah.
You know, both Afghanistan and Iraq are over, ostensibly, and yet we're still spending $800 billion a year or something like that? Where the hell is that?
I literally said today, I go, how is it that we're forking out all this fucking money to both Ukraine and freaking Israel, but yet we're shutting our fucking government down? But, hold on, the people at the top of the government are still getting fucking paid. No, take their fucking money first.
Before we get too political, I just wanted to know.
I think I know how he thinks.
I know, but I just
that's
like,
why
I was
being quiet.
Wondered if the people serving, if they feel the shift, not just the morale, but like, do you feel that like the policies like come straight down? Like, we know they shit roll downhill.
I think at a younger age, not so much, but as you get older, you see the level of bullshit fuckery.
That's a good way to put it.
Thank you.
That's a good way to put it. Come on, Sparkle Farts, there's fuckery to be spread.
You know, like I said, it's just the same cycle, one from one party to the next. And again, and it's a waste of trillions of dollars of money. And,
I figured it. I mean,
you know, I'm not as hawkish, I guess, as I was when I was younger.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that's the benefit of getting a little bit older.
That's fair.
I do.
That is true.
I will say this right now, that we had absolutely no business going into Iraq in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they ended up doing is, if you look at it from the strategic portion of it, what did you do?
Yeah.
Saddam Hussein, of course, was a murderous asshole.
Mm-hmm.
But what did he do?
Yeah.
He kept the Iranians in check. So you go in and you take out the biggest impediment for them because they wanted to take control, not directly.
Iran.
So, and the whole thing is, if you talk about history, let's go back for a second.
Right? No, let's dive into it.
Sykes-Picot Agreement, 1918, I believe it was. You take several provinces of the Ottoman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
You create the country of Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And what do? You put the fucking minority in charge, and that's why these people have been fighting like this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where that comes from.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was three provinces of the Ottoman Empire under the whole Sykes-Picot thing, which created Transjordan, that created Syria, that created Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so you end up, Paul Wolfowitz and all these people never served in the military, these neocon hawks. We go in there.
So you say the word hawks. Explain to the audience what you mean by that.
People, war hawk. You know, okay. You have hawks and the doves.
Okay.
You know, war, peace.
Okay.
So you go in.
No, that's a great, great analogy.
And you remove that check.
Mm-hmm.
And that's.
Leaves a vacuum out.
That's exactly. Oh, and then somebody's got to fill the vacuum.
And that's what's going on. That's why we have so many problems. And it's been. Mm-hmm. It's been 20 years since we invaded that.
Well, you know what label they gave it back then?
What?
ISIS. That's the that gave
it. No, back then it wasn't ISIS. It was no. ISIS is a
Al-Qaeda.
Yep. It was Al-Qaeda. Yeah.
Taliban.
Yep.
And see, the thing is with ISIS, so you also have to understand is the Taliban just wanted to rule Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
So they let, because they had money, Bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, which you don't hear a lot of this on the news, the Taliban are fighting ISIS.
Wow. Well, it's good because we left 5 million fucking plus.
They want, ISIS people want the truest, in their mind, version of Islam. The Taliban just wants to run the country and sell dope.
Yeah, man, they got poppy. Yeah, they got poppy. They got a product. They want to push it.
It's a very accurate description.
That's exactly what they want to do.
No, that's why I love hearing this. Like, this is the shit you're not going to hear on the news. Thank you. And this is why I love, like, these interactions. I love these personal, like, person-to-person, like, interviews face-to-face. Because it's like you hear...
firsthand.
Yes, firsthand, you know.
Oh, you know, I talked
not... Yeah, I'm sitting in my newsroom in New York.
Jay on the phone told me.
Yeah. It's funny you mention that because...
Yeah, Jay. The other Jay. Sorry, not you. Andy knows what I'm talking about. Go ahead. Sorry. you just caught it. Okay, go ahead.
When this whole thing with Israel and Hamas kicked off, I was flipping through the local NBC affiliate, and Richard Engels, one of the NBC reporters, and as soon as I heard it, I knew what it was. And they're diving behind cars, and he goes, "I don't know if it's rockets." I go, "No, your asses are getting mortared." And then you hear it.
Mm-hmm.
My dad asked me. He goes, "Yep." What is about that? And I said, "Well, Pop, first thing is anything you've seen in Hollywood, just forget it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look like that. It doesn't sound like that. Mortars, depending on where you're at,
mm-hmm.
just imagine the world's largest hornet coming at you."
Wow. I've experienced that to my face, literally recently.
Right quick, hold on.
Fucking sucked.
Hold on, Eddie. Right quick. Jacob said we must think of those four board members at Lockheed.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, and then Lindsay's on, and Barney said hello, and Lindsay said hello too.
Hey, to everybody that's listening but not commenting, hello, and thank you all for tuning in. We'd love for you to participate, but thank you for watching, even if you decide not to.
You gotta play Barney's music real quick.
Yeah, you gotta play Barney's music.
Oh, wait, hold on. If I can get to the mic.
Oh, shit.
God. Like, I put myself Lindsay in a conundrum.
Said, I still haven't figured out how to set up my studio.
Lindsay said, why aren't any of y'all's mics working but Devin's?
What?
Can nobody else hear us?
That's what Lindsay said.
There's no way. Oh, we can hear.
Okay, listen.
All right, those of you out there, can you hear us? Is everybody coming in clear? Devin, ask also.
Yes, is anybody hearing everybody else? Like, we're 45 minutes in. Now y'all are going to say something, really? Well, no, I'm saying that people previous that were commenting didn't say shit.
God.
Like, hey, I see their mouths moving, but I don't hear the sound. But I'm not going to say anything.
It's like we can hear you, but it's like you're in the background. Ooh, Andy? Andy's in the background? He's always in the background.
The volume's not, like, rolling okay over here? Like...
Yeah.
Why are we always having technical
problems? Is there anybody else out there that's having the same problems?
Let me shoot Jake a text and see what he says.
Yeah, I was going to say, because he was one of the first people. Well, I heard that shit go through. Yeah. All right, Byrony, while we have a little break.
All right.
Okay, here we go.
It's worldwide.
Wow, yeah. Barney said we can hear y'all, but Devin is the only one on. I can't see that.
So it's like
Hold on, let me see if
picking us up.
Yeah, let me see if something changed on the Roland. On fucking Roland.
Why don't you just...
They're fucking Roland.
Peek out everybody. What the hell?
No, I mean, I did on the sliders, but if the software is saying something different...
It's got to be the output to the computer, right?
Yeah, I'm looking at the...
Still no sound for us with the music.
Shut the music off for a second, see what happens.
Hold on, let me see something.
That's weird. That's effing weird, dude. Is it getting any better out there? Devin's messing with settings.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
All right, shut the music off and see what it does.
All right, hold on, hold on. Yeah, it might be the music that's killing it.
It's never done that before, though.
We need a sound guy.
Besides that, that music.
No, we need a Roland guy. I'm about to call somebody and pay them, like, from Roland. Fly out here and fucking...
All right, pause that shit, man.
Well, no, when we switched to the newer, better, more sophisticated board, we started having, like, all sorts of weird fucking problems.
Can y'all hear us now? How's it sound now? Do I sound like I'm in the mic? It's working on our headphones. That's what's crazy.
I know, that's what's
sounds
weird.
Sounds like you got the mic in your mouth.
Oh, Devin.
Jacob says, yeah, but your little quiet sounds like his mic is off and is coming through somebody else's.
That's weird. That is weird.
Wow.
So everyone
we're sorry. Devin?
Well, no, I mean, look at the distance between the mic and your mouth, and then look at the distance. So, you're eating it.
Yeah, but she's saying all Patrick, Patrick, Jay, and up me are sounding like we're on coming from basically your mic across the room.
Yeah, Lindsay, oh, I'm in the bathroom. I don't want to tell you, you know, I'm just, you know.
What had happened was.
Yeah, speaking of the bathroom, I got to.
Well, that's just great. Thing.
Well, fuckity fuck sticks.
Man.
Yeah, dude, I don't... Let me see. Technical difficulties, folks. Please hold.
Yeah, I'm like, wait a minute. Your mic's... Your mute button's not on, so that's...
Technical difficulties, folks. Please hold.
Yeah, I'm like, wait a minute. Your mic...
It is. It's like I'm from your...
Okay. Your mute button's not on, so that's...
Technical difficulties, folks. Please
hold. It's coming from, like, your mic. Really, your mic is picking us up for some reason. Or somebody's mic. How about now? No, how about now? Nope, that makes no difference. That's me shutting the mic off.
Let me just...
What has happened? What has happened?
How about now, ladies and gentlemen? Can you hear everybody else? Please let us know.
Can you hear anything? What are all those buttons at the top?
Well, no, I hit some buttons up there.
Earlier?
Just now. I don't know if they're...
Shit.
I know. Fucking technical difficulties.
What goes to what mic?
All right, so...
Each one of those is a track.
This is mine, mic one.
Yeah.
Patrick's mic two. Your mic three. Jay's mic four. Five, six, seven, eight.
Why are none of them lit up? Why are none of them lit up at the top? I thought they were always lit.
That's set up.
The very top. No?
Up here, they're lit.
Just those two. Shouldn't they all be lit? No? I'm just asking. You're the expert, sir.
Jake says, sounds a bit better.
Well, we're getting there, at least.
That means we're getting there, so you did something right. What buttons did you
Well, I hit this button that illuminated that. I know that's...
Push all those buttons.
I know, I'm like, I'm just going to hit all of them. Hold on.
Wow. Dude, crap, this sucks. What has
fuck
happened?
Fuck is mute.
That means somebody's mic came on.
Hello, 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 hello. Test. What the hell?
Test. Bear with us, ladies and gentlemen. We do apologize for this with this brief interruption. Not sure why all of a sudden the mics aren't working.
Bear with us, ladies and gentlemen. We do apologize.
Yeah, I'm still not in the mic.
Patrick.
Yeah.
The hell?
I just texted you that.
Motherfucker.
Something just dropped out.
Yeah, that was actually went fade to black.
Okay. It definitely hears you. It's here.
Fade to black.
Well, shit.
Well, yeah, we need to hurry because, I mean, they got a jet at 8:30, so I forgot to tell you.
Yeah, it still sounds like he's coming from the other side of the room.
Unless we can figure out the sound and all that. And
what the hell? What the hell?
If he has another, you know, has another date that he can come back in.
WTF, man.
So...
Yeah, just click all those buttons and make them.
I'm hitting them all, man.
Hey, you hit something.
Can anybody? Hello.
Unless this has been the whole podcast,
and this better not been the whole podcast.
And nobody's told us because Ashley didn't come in till late.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Ugh.
All right. Well, if it happens.
All right, I'm adjusting each individual.
We're gonna
get this fixed.
Wednesday, Thursdays.
Testing. Okay. Lindsay says no changes. Testing. And all those lights at the top, they don't need to be lit up.
Are you still working? Are you still working evenings?
No, I haven't worked evenings either.
Okay.
No, I hold days now. So.
And you gotta be in at what, 5?
No, 6.
6. All
right. It's nice, though, because we only live a mile and a half from work.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, the buttons at the very top.
What's up?
Those don't need to be lit. These ones were the pink.
If we can't get anything to change. Pink
and green and stuff.
I think.
No, these are like.
Be willing to come back or whatever.
Are those?
These are. They should be effects, but. Not 100% certain.
This is weird. Okay. Well, fuck. Okay.
I know, like, we did a couple podcasts where it was one or two people, and I know there was a lot of changes and shit that had to, like, obviously,
right.
Volume control and all that sort of stuff had to happen. I'm just not 100% certain what the fuck got changed.
We just lost all of our viewers.
What the fuck?
I think it's probably the software.
How the fuck do we go to 0?
Yeah, I know.
Because I'm literally, I'm on right here.
Yeah, we're pretty high.
Yeah.
Wait, you speak for yourself.
Patrick is high.
Yeah. Well,
guys.
When does your next bid start?
Let's see. Close to yesterday.
So next Sunday?
No,
Do they still do it like that?
It's month-to-month bid.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anybody online anymore.
Fucking
hard,
too. I hate it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I didn't like month-to-month bid either.
Shit.
Everybody has disappeared.
Wait.
Yeah, see, I got nobody online. I watched it from my Facebook.
I think it's the 3rd.
Yeah, and I'm watching here, and it's...
The 3rd, December 3rd.
What does it say?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
What the heck?
Man? And it's weird because I'm looking at the levels and they're peaking, so I'm like, what the
whole thing
fuck?
Just crap out or what?
That's just it. We don't know if it's been like this the whole show or not because nobody's spoken up until Lindsay started listening because she just got off work. And then.
Yeah, we've lost everybody.
You want me to try to refresh and see what happens?
Well, they gotta take off at 8:30.
Oh shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Fuck, man.
So we'll December 3rd. What about?
I got so many fucking questions.
Yeah. I know, we can save them.
Son of a bitch.
Well, while you're fixing that, just go ahead and fire away, dude. I'll answer them right here. I mean, we may not be on the air, but hit me up. What do you got?
All right. So can you discuss the challenges veterans face with transitioning to civilian life?
It's called dealing with asshole coworkers.
Fuck you.
One of the guys was sitting in the smoke room, and I had been back to work maybe 2 weeks, and he just, for whatever reason, thought it would be funny to come up and kick the fucking door. And I dove on the goddamn concrete.
Ooh.
And fortunately, two of the other guys got a hold of him before I did.
Fucking awesome. I mean, no, not awesome, but...
No, I
saw the comment, and that's why I said fucking awesome. I wasn't saying fucking awesome about your stuff.
No, seriously, I remember that. I just can't remember who it was.
Well, she can hear everyone, but she doesn't. It's not like we're right there.
Okay, Amanda said that she can hear us, hear all of us.
Here, you know what?
I was just curious.
I'll mute my mic. Go ahead, say, can you hear us now?
Yeah, can you hear us now?
Here, you know what? I was just curious. I'll mute my mic. Go ahead, say, can you hear us now?
Yeah, can you hear us now? Can
we
hear us now?
Hold on.
I'll mute my mic.
Go ahead, say, can you hear us now? So it's still catching us from somewhere.
It's catching from somewhere, but it's not this mic.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Where in the fuck is it catching?
That means it's a... I bet you it's your laptop mic or something, dude.
Please hold.
That might be why it's canceling.
But the further,
it
might further be. Answer your question is, you know, most people, there's only maybe 2% of the population nowadays who are served. And those of us who have, over recent years, even fewer that are currently in the military, serving in a war zone. So, you know, it just... There's a disconnect the way we think and feel versus, you know, with civilians. I mean, whiny shit. Dude, don't come up to me with that. You don't know what tough is.
Right.
And to give you a perfect example, you know, when I first came back to work, you know, because they were talking about the desert, I said, the first motherfucker says it's a dry heat, I'm going to slap you. Because our very first day in Kuwait at Camp Buring, I walk in the base weather office and I ask the Air Force kid, what's the outside air temperature? And he's like, well, sir, it sounds better if I give it to you in Celsius. It's 122 degrees. The radiant heat coming
off... Sir, it's only 57 degrees.
The radiant heat coming off the concrete was about 165.
Ooh,
and the thing of it is the Chinooks are so big, we didn't have any place to put them in the shade. Now, we had a deal where you could tow the Blackhawks in and out and work on them in the shade. But after about 9:30 in the morning, you could not touch the skin of the aircraft.
Oh, shit. What's
without it? Gloves on.
I was going to say, what is the skin of the aircraft like?
You know, and it's fucking...
The fuselage is probably...
It's hot as fuck.
Fry a goddamn egg on that bitch. Hey, y'all want lunch? Got it.
Captain Lassiter, my fingers are stuck to the fuselage. Well, let's go get a hacksaw and hacksaw your hand off. I can hear him say that.
Your mic isn't on, Patrick, is it?
Yeah, it's on.
No, I mean on your laptop.
No.
Somebody's laptop mic is on. That's what's going on. I'm telling you, it's catching because when... If they're not catching our mics and he shut his mic off and then something's catching us, it's a laptop microphone. I know for a fact. It's got to be.
Nope. Mine's off.
I switched mine from the microphone input to the VH1, the board, so.
It didn't. Yeah, it's still, because I still hear it. It's like, go ahead and shut your mic off again real quick. I'm going to listen to this.
And just to tell you, Amanda Callender said I can't even with this younger generation myself, I can't imagine how, you know what I'm saying, what you just said.
Oh, man, it would drive me.
Yeah, this, man, I'm Gen X too, and so I don't put up a lot of it. Poor shit, I don't want to listen to it. I don't care. You want feelings, go watch fucking Oprah or something.
Amen to that.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like we had an individual got upset, and they were crying to management.
Your mic's on.
And I was like, I don't, you know, you have a job to do.
Yep.
So they're like, well, you know, I said, listen, I'm here. I said, I'm here to do a job. Okay. I don't particularly want to be your friend.
It's definitely.
I just need to do a job.
Right.
That's it.
I can hear you vaping. I can hear everything.
Well, yeah, your mic's going to pick it up, bro. These mics are super sensitive.
I shouldn't be able to hear it on here. That's because remember they're not hearing us. Whenever we talk, it sounds like it. It sounds like
I shouldn't be able to hear it on here. That's because remember they're not hearing us. Whenever we talk, it sounds like it. It sounds like I shouldn't be able to hear it on here. That's because remember they're
right. Whatever it is,
whenever we talk, it sounds like it. It
Yeah, it sounds like you're in a tin can.
Yeah, that's not my mic. It's coming from...
And with that silence, it has ended the episode. Unfortunately, we were not able to get back up and running. Thank you again for listening, and we hope you have a wonderful day. Goodbye.